It's Light the Tower, your daily look around the world of sports with Hall of Fame broadcaster and voice of the Texas Longhorns, Craig Way.
Say goodnight to this one!
And Horns 24/7 insider, Jeff Howe. On your live, local, and independent home for sports talk in Austin, The Horn.
Second hour of Light the Tower on the Horn. Segway, Jeff Howe with you. Happy birthday to my mom, by the way.
Oh, that's awesome.
Rosemary. 89 years young today. So, and doing well. So, happy birthday to my mom. Clean up from hour number one, as we invariably do. Looking at it on the specs text line there. Somebody said, do you know about this homeschool bill that's being talked about? Not really sure what it is, but keep seeing it on Twitter. It's a bill that's in there. It's kind of like that line from Camelot where Sir Lancelot says to King Arthur, yeah, and I've got all these great ideas and blah, blah, blah. One of them is a training program for knights. And Queen Guinevere asked Arthur, do you know what that is? He says, sure I do. It's a program for training. So the bill would allow homeschool athletes to participate in UIL events. That's what that bill is.
There's some people adamant for and against.
Yeah, absolutely. On both sides, no doubt. Beaver Lance Jason says it's a great way to help build up rivalry between schools in the same state. It even helps in recruiting. Well done, Mac Attack. He's talking about the state championship ring topic. I love this. Our good friend Tom, Emily Wolf fan, lets us know that going on in the final four right now, NCAA women's tennis, the Longhorn ladies just took the doubles point. They're up one zip on North Carolina State. So very good in the final four for the women. The men play in the final four tomorrow, correct?
Let me double check that
real quick. Double checking that. The women have taken the first point from NC State. So, congratulations. Stay at it. Hopefully they get to play for the national championship. 614 Marquand.
Tonight. Tonight. 6:30.
Okay. All right. So there. And reminding us, you know, we were mentioning the counties that you would probably do well to avoid unless you have specific business or, you know, that sort of thing. And Pinellas and Hillsborough in the Tampa-St. Pete area and Dade Broward in the Miami Fort Lauderdale, he adds Duval County in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Okay. Duly noted. Somebody else said, hey, the UT Bats will bounce back today. That loss hurt, and they will show their true grit today. Well, that's certainly the hope. And you can hear it on the horn tonight.
They tend to do that.
6:15 airtime, 6:30 first pitch. They'll see the freshman left-hander Ben Hampton, 4-2 with a 4.08 ERA. Tristan Stevens, who might, in fact, I've got this right here. Starcy might lead, at the very least, the starting pitchers in wins. He does, with 7. Pete Hansen, by the way, leads the Big 12 Conference in ERA, 1.83 ERA for Pete, and he'll be the pitcher tomorrow, weather permitting, for the game tomorrow. Wasn't and David Pierce, by the way, and then there's a couple other items we'll get to before we get into a couple other things. Coach Pierce, apparently on the Zoom, the post game, and he had already done the post game interview with us on the field, and then, of course, I'm breaking down a quote. I didn't get a chance to see the Zoom, but he was pretty adamant about saying we need to do what we need to do to make sure to get all these games in.
Yeah, and I think some people might have taken it out of context. He wasn't saying like they're going to move, you know, today's game up to 2:30 or whatever.
Right. He said whatever. It's basically whatever it takes, right?
Yeah. Kind of like we talked about yesterday. They've got 3 days to get it in. He confirmed again, you know, in case anybody was wondering for needed further confirmation.
Yeah.
Sunday is not a cushion day.
Yeah, I was surprised he was asked that because, I'm not surprised. And if you follow the Big 12 in baseball, you know the baseball rule. That you got 72 hours, basically, once a conference weekend series start. There's no flexibility on that. the framework of that is rooted in not dealing with missed classroom time.
Right.
That's the deal. Now, it's understandable when coaches will say, well, what about the final weekend of the regular season when school's out for everybody? Couldn't you make an exception on that? But that might give an unfair advantage on a weekend for something where you could do it.
It sounds like there's some gray area there
that
might be workable because West Virginia's staying in Austin Saturday night.
And then they're staying like in Fort Worth on Sunday.
Yeah, they're going to get up on Sunday and go to Fort Worth and stay in Fort Worth on Sunday. Mm-hmm. So there's not any kind of – they're not going back to Morgantown.
School's out all around the Big 12.
Yeah, so there's – David Pierce didn't come out and say this, and I don't have this on authority from the conference, but – the gist that I got was if they need to extend that in the area where on a normal conference weekend you would be bumping up against a curfew where an inning can't start after such and such time, if needed, they might work around that a little bit. But it's all to be determined at this point.
You know, they could do it a la UIL. I remember the state tournament. They had a...
What am I hearing?
There's some maintenance going on outside in the lobby area.
A little loud.
Yeah. Well, if you had to do some rewiring, you might be yelling out to somebody. I'm going to need this. The UIL will never...
We're trying to broadcast an award-winning show that ain't never won any awards.
Yeah, right. So.
Craig, you did. I'm sorry. Snoop, you and I have not won any awards. So. Only one of us in here is an award winner.
What's that old line about a picture of the three of us, between the three of us, there's an award won or something like that. Yeah. Something like that. Anyway, there was a UIL state championship game. It's been a few years because it was then 5A, it was pre-6A games, and it was at UFCU Dish Falk Field, even pre-renovation. And I remember Lubbock Monterey was in it. And I want to say it was a school out of the greater Houston area, maybe Klein Oak or something like that. And they'd had all kinds of rain delays. And here it was for the state championship, and it was on a Saturday night. It got pushed to Saturday. It's Saturday night, and you had to get it started before midnight or it wasn't going to happen because you couldn't play on Sunday. They got everything cleared off, got the field ready to go. First pitch on that big LED board at UFCU Dish Falk Field, 11:59 p.m.
Wow.
And it finished about 2:15 a.m. But they started it before midnight.
Got it in. Got it done.
So my point is something like that could be possible.
Right.
They're willing to wait if they had to go to that.
Yeah.
And then a couple other things. Bakersfield boy says, everybody says a banana peel isn't okay to throw out or is okay. He's got ISN okay to throw out on a
so is it or is it not?
Snoop, somebody says, was at the Lake Travis Round Rock baseball playoff opener last night at Concordia. The atmosphere was electric. Did you make it over after the Rouse Cedar Park game? You were at another electric game in Georgetown.
Yeah, it wrapped up about the same time. Lake Travis Round Rock ended maybe 15 minutes before we did.
Okay, all right. And, of course, Round Rock with a 2-1 victory.
Yep, come back. Lake Travis led 1-0 going into the seventh. Round Rock, two runs to take it.
Game two tonight at Concordia?
Yes.
And you're headed over there?
Yes.
Okay.
First time.
But you were there to see the Rouse Raiders advance to the state quarterfinals with a 3-2 win over Cedar Park last night in the 5A playoffs.
Yeah, one game playoff, do or die, trailed 1-0 to Cedar Park going into the fifth, got two runs, bottom, and never looked back.
Okay.
All right. Coach Crimpin, congratulations, program history, first ever round four berth for the Raiders.
There it is, Raiders on to the state quarterfinal round, and I would say Dalton Porter of the Longhorns is excited about that. Jared Southard, excited about that. A couple of Rouse Raiders there. I think that catches us up on a couple of the other things.
Okay. So real quick, before we get to the Crystal Conti interview, it is Friday, so that means we are opening packs of cards. We're getting back into the hobby here on Light the Tower. Snoop and I are. We're real excited about it. So Snoop's got a nice pack of Donruss, 2021 Donruss. I've got 2021 Donruss and another Diamond Kings. Love that Diamond King. You see Babe Ruth on the floor there, Craig. So we got some Diamond Kings. We'll open these while the Crystal Conti interview is getting played. We'll come back after the break. talk about what we've got before we get into the next notebook. And it's key to mention, too, you know, helping us out, Lamar and the folks at browneyeclothing.com. It's colorectal cancer awareness is what Brown Eye Clothing is all about. You know, they're now they're recommending, Craig, for your first colorectal cancer screening at age 45.
45.
To do that. So that's some not too far, too far from go. That. It is the number one killer in the future for 20 to 29-year-olds. So obviously can't do enough to bring awareness to that. And browneyeclothing.com, they are going to work with charitable organizations in the greater Austin area, Central Texas and greater Austin area. 20% of all their proceeds is going to go to colorectal cancer awareness. So get on board with browneyeclothing.com, and we will let you know what's in these packs.
Will you get a? Will we win a national football championship before you get your first colonoscopy?
Man, I'd be 9 years off. Right?
I hope so. Winning that, I'll settle for a Big 12 championship in the next 9 years.
We can do it.
Snoop Dogg went 35 years in between number, number three and number four.
Don't let what Nick Saban and the boys in Tuscaloosa are doing distort reality. Those national titles are hard to win.
Mm-hmm.
So I would hope so, but trust me, I will be getting my colorectal cancer screening at 45.
Good on you.
Regardless.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So this morning with Bucky and Aaron, they got an opportunity to visit with the Vice President, Director of Athletics, Chris Del Conte, to talk about, among other things, the announcement yesterday that UT Athletic Events now are going to be open to 100% attendance, the South End Zone Project, and some other topics as well this morning here on The Horn.
He is Chris Del Conte. Chris, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. You all right?
Norm, we're doing fantastic. Chris, yourself?
Can't complain. All is great in the land of the horns.
Yeah, man. You guys, a lot of success going on right now. We'll talk about that coming up. But first, let's talk about the big announcement yesterday. What led to your decision, along with President Hartsell, to go back to full capacity for outdoor sports?
You know, it's interesting. We've just been monitoring it. I think, at the end of the day, the safety of our fans are first and foremost. And we were monitoring it all spring. And as the governor started to release restrictions, and we started monitoring the COVID cases in our community, NC2A had said that we can go to 100% capacity, and we were eventually getting there on our own, but President Hartsell and our leadership team, along with our medical staff on campus, took all factors in place and said, let's do this now. It was awesome.
Chris, how about ticket sales for football? How has that been so far? I know you guys opened it up a couple, about 6-7 weeks ago, and how's sales going?
Oh, fantastic. You know, I think it was interesting yesterday, an indication that people want to get back to some semblance of normalcy, as the ACL tickets went on sale, and 2.5 hours later, they were sold out for session tickets. So it was exciting. I called Charles Hotel, and I said, hey, tell me how sales are going. So our ticket sales are going phenomenal. People are kind of waiting to see what the fall will look like as we start to open up our country and move through this pandemic, and we can see the other side. I'm excited to welcome 100,000 people back to BKR on Labor Day weekend.
Yeah, Louisiana, that first game, and season ticket renewals are going. The deadline for renewals is May 24th, so we're approaching that deadline day. So make sure if you want season tickets for this year, jump on that at texassports.com. Chris, talk about the project, the South End Zone. I mean, it'll be a different feel in the stadium with the South End Zone closed. The new screen there, which is fantastic. And then I know you guys are planning with your team to be back with Bevo Boulevard and Longhorn City Limits and all the festivities that go in, the events that go in and around a Texas football game.
Well, just from a standpoint of facilities perspective, between the Moody Center, the basketball practice facility, and the South End Zone project, it's been amazing that we've continued to keep on pace during a pandemic, civil unrest, economic downturn, all these things going on. It's about $700 million for the projects. And to say that we're on schedule is phenomenal, considering all those things that are taking place. So I'm excited about that. The ice storm put me back a little bit, but we'll be ready by August in terms of the South End Zone project. We have graduation this weekend and DKR. So they'll get a chance to just see the breadth and scope of that facility. When we had spring game there, you can see how it closes it in. So the noise level, the idea of getting back next year, we're going to just blow it out. I told Drew and our entire team, we got to go bigger and better. So I'm excited for what we have in store for our fans and students this coming fall.
Chris, when you have full capacity, when you're back in your concession stands, I know for a while with 25%, you know, people were using credit cards, it wasn't cash being. Are there things that you're going to keep back in place even when it goes full capacity, or Will people be going hand to hand with cash again? Will we be back to normal, or are there things that you changed and the university has changed that will probably stay the same as they were when it was 25%?
You know, I love the efficiencies of some of those things. I'll tell you, ticketless ticket. Think about the, having produced tickets, print tickets. I know the older you get, boy, you want that ticket as a ceremonial keepsake. But to go to ticketless ticket was great. To go to cashless it was great. You think about Venmo and all the things that young people are doing now. So we'll do a combination of that. I don't think we'll completely go away from Zoom. Right, Zoom entered our world
pandemic,
and I think it'll still have a play. A lot of people are. Do they want to come back to work 100%? You're finding out it can be more efficient, maybe, of having people work at home instead of having to come into an office all the time. So I think through this pandemic, we're going to learn some efficiencies, and some creative ways to not only save money but provide better opportunities for our workforce and for our fans to have a better experience. So we won't go completely one way or the other, but it'll be a bleed in, if you will, a slow overture. But I've taken notes on great efficiencies that we can put forth.
It is interesting. We've had to learn technology that now we are comfortable with, and that does allow us to do more things, I would imagine, moving forward. You mentioned graduation. 96 current and former student athletes will graduate this weekend, so congratulations to them. And Chris, one of our first conversations when you took over at Longhorn Athletics, you said your expectation, your bar is that your programs will compete in the top 10 in the nation and compete for championships, and that'll be across the board. Prophetic. I mean, it's been a heck of a year. We've talked about the success of the winter sports and the spring. Even through a pandemic, if the baseball team could somehow win the Big 12 regular season, that would be 13 Big 12 championships. That would be a new record in the Big 12. I know you have to be pretty proud of what's gone on here in the last 8 months.
Oh, without question. You think about, I'm just proud for our coaches, our student athletes, our staff, everyone involved. It's just been the last. And everybody with the Longhorn Nation, it's been just a god-awful 18 months. You know, just dealing with things that we just weren't prepared to deal with, you know, when you're just such disruption in our lives. And for when we decided to have athletics this year, one of the things we did is we wanted to get back to some sense of normalcy for our student athletes. And to, you know, and that to see them just rise to the challenge. And then every single day we set a goal. We will be a top 10 team. Our goal, a lot of people can talk about winning championships. The University of Texas, we've won in every single sport a national champion except one or two. So we know it's there. We have the facilities. We have the institution. We have leadership from our president who believes in intercollegiate athletics. From what we can sell, we have the city of Austin. We have just phenomenal coaches. So with recruiting, you start putting places in place that you can see today with both of our tennis teams in the Final Four, both of our men's and women's track teams ranked 1, 2, and 3. You look at what's happened with baseball, softball, with the regionals this weekend for softball and baseball, has a chance to win the Big 12 championship and host a regional and super regional. It's just an exciting time on the 40 acres. I am pumped to be associated with it, but credit goes to our coaches and student athletes. They are rising to the occasion, and we're just beginning.
Chris, the Hall of Honor, that's one of the things that when you first came here we talked about, and you got that done, and it's magnificent. It's absolutely beautiful. Is that baby open up to 100% right now?
It will be, my friend. But, you know, it's one of those things where we had a event last night. I had all of our senior graduation party last night. So I was going back and forth between the baseball game and our graduation for our student athletes. And we for the kids to see their walkthrough and see it. Because for the last month, it's been our testing center for the last year for COVID testing. So we had it all cleaned up, put it right and ready for them to walk in. They're like, okay, this is a hallowed grounds that my grandchildren, my kids are going to come to and say, I was a Longhorn. And this is what it means to be a Longhorn. It was awesome last night. And that event allowed us to do that, to showcase them. So it's beautiful.
Chris Del Conte is with us, Director of Athletics at the University of Texas. Chris, the Jay Hartzell, for our audience, for our alumni and fans of Texas, and you know he's come online as the new president in the middle of all of this. I mean, it's a lot going on. There's been a pandemic, and there's been global nationwide unrest. There's been the Eyes of Texas debate. What's your read on Jay Hartzell? I know you talk about the relationship you have, but give us some insights for our audience on what type of president is leading the university right now.
You know what? Steady leadership. The guy doesn't panic. I mean, he is phenomenal. Great sense of humor, great vision, wicked smart, great sense of humor. But I tell you what, he's been battle tested. And boy, he listens, takes in information, gathers thought. He gets consensus, but when he makes a decision, and we let's move on together. he's just been phenomenal. And I've learned so much just watching his leadership. You know, because when you're in leadership roles, it's easy to take pot shots, right? I would have done it this way, the water cooler conversations, whatever that may be. And to watch him lead has just been phenomenal. And how he just talks to people, listens, he's just been great. And University of Texas is lucky that we have him during this time. And I cherish our friendship, but more importantly, he's one of the best I've ever been around.
You know,
not just because he's my current boss, I'm telling you, the dude's wicked good.
You know, the bond of an athletic director and especially the head coach of the University of Texas is very important. You and Steve, how's that growing as time goes on? I know we haven't played a game yet. We just get through spring ball, and now he's probably looking for a home and everything else. And they're getting ready. By the way, they're getting ready to start recruiting again in June. How's that bond growing between you two?
You know what? I've known Steve for a long time, and we've known of each other. It's like I've known Chris Beard for a long time, but we never working together. I think one of the things you bring all these new coaches in, the greatest thing is that they know the culture of the University of Texas is excellent. Having Eddie Reese here, you know, we get our coaches, we meet once a month. We're going to have a retreat later this month. It's going to be about what makes Texas great. Let's celebrate what we're good at. Let's not worry about our weaknesses, but what our strengths are. And having Steve has been, was at USC, was at Washington, was, remember, he was offered the head coach of the Los Angeles Raiders at 31 years old. To watch his maturation from where I knew him to where he is today is phenomenal. Great staff. The one thing we give a lot of credit to head coaches, but it's who that head coach brings with him, and that staff is going to create a phenomenal program, no different than what CB has run, Chris Beard in men's basketball, or Vic in women's basketball, or Flo in track and field, or Mike White in softball, or Pierce in baseball. They all have great staffs that allow them to be successful, and that's what Steve has brought. So it's exciting.
Chris Del Conte is with us. Chris, take us. I know we've all heard the story of the McDonald's visit with Chris Beard in Plainview and how that went. You met halfway. How did that negotiation go? I mean, it sounded like Chris was eager to do it, but I'm sure there were some hard questions. What did Chris want to hear to know that he wanted to jump from a good job that he had out in Lubbock?
You know, it was interesting. You can never take anything for granted anymore. You know, he built a great job in Lubbock. Let's just be candid. They were winning. They were sold out that stadium. They went to the final game, Elite Eight. And I didn't want to take it for granted that this was his alma mater. I needed to make sure that we had a plan and vision in place that we can be successful and win national championship. That's Chris's goal, right? He goes, hey. So when I called and contacted about the job, I said, hey, I'd like to meet with you. We had to find a place that we could meet. That was clandestine. Plainview, Texas was it. When I landed at 6:30 in the morning, and he picked me up and at the FBO, there was nothing open but a McDonald's. And from there, we went to a place. We just sat down and talked about facilities. We talked about vision. We talked about what it means to be a Longhorn, where we're going. Presidential leadership can't underestimate the relation between an AD, a president, and a chairman of the region board, Kevin Altipe. The three of us are on page on everything that we do, constantly communicating, constantly having discussions, not only about our athletic program, but the University of Texas and in our great state. So it's just great to have that connection with the three of them. So this is who we're going to go get. It allowed me the opportunity to get out and go make that deal. And with CB, it was just, are we committed to being great in basketball? And I said, we're not building a $400 million basketball arena to be average. We're not building a $50 million basketball practice to be average. We are committed. There's two animals that are involved in breakfast, the chicken and a pig. The chicken's involved, the pig's committed. We're committed. You understand the concept?
You're not sleeping overnight at the Moody Center, are you? Watching that thing.
I walk by Moody in the morning. I walk by our DKR every day. I live in it. I see our facilities. We are investing in our program so we can go out and win championships for the great state of Texas, but the University of Texas, and this is what our goals are.
And what is it? Next April, the weekend, we'll be opening up the Moody Center, I think, is the first planned event there, which will be a lot of fun. And I know Chris Beard, when we had him on, he's eager to make sure that there's a big crowd at the Irwin Center in its final year to send off the Drummond style, because he's not, you know, he was pretty clear to say, hey, I'm not waiting on the new arena. That's going to be great, but we've got to fill the Irwin Center this year, and we need a home court advantage.
Well, you know, what's funny is we start off the question, how's Steve doing? Are we selling out DKR? I had a two-hour meeting yesterday with Chris about how we can sell out the Irwin Center every single game. Chris, I love you, brother. It's May 20th. I'm just trying to get through baseball regional and super regional. He didn't want to hear that. He wanted a marketing plan, what we're going to do and how we're going to go about it yesterday. It's beautiful. So Every coach is the tip of the sword. Steve's the same way. Coach Vic in women's basketball is the same way. Flo and track, they're all, they understand the University of Texas in its macro level, but they are super intent on their sport that drives you. That doesn't fire you up. When you have a coach every day just wanting to be great, challenges you. I mean, it's a, you know, I'm fired up to get to work right now.
Yeah, we got to bring the track coach on. We haven't spoke to him yet. And, I mean, you know, the track and field in the state of Texas has been incredible. And University of Texas track and field has been awesome for a lot of years, Chris, as you know.
Oh, it's a phenomenal state. We have 30 million people. It's the very best state in the union. It's just not in the union, in America, right here. And you think about the young people that we have coming through our high school systems that are going on and playing football across the country or track across the country. We got to keep them home and get the very best kids to choose the University of Texas. And if you do that, you're going to win championships in every sport. And you think about winning 12 conference championships this year. One more and we tie and we'll beat the record. That just tells you that they're heading in the right direction. And we won both indoors and outdoor track and field championships. We have a chance to win a national championship in both in 2 weeks. So I just think if we do a great job of recruiting our state, Katie bar the door.
Yeah, a lot of people. Funny how both tennis teams are in the Final Four. That's the only program in the country with that honor as well for the director of athletics, Chris Del Conte. Chris, let me ask you, if we're getting through one storm, it does appear the next storm coming is, you know, whether, I don't know if you'd clarify it or classify it as a storm, is, you know, the name, image, and likeness, you know, bill in the state house and the whole plan coming from the NCAA. How are you as an athletic department preparing for those changes that are coming for student athletes?
Oh, phenomenal. You know what? We have great leadership on our department with Aaron Dunn and Kevin Washington that worked our Forever Texas program and now our Leverage program, which are designed to make sure that our student athletes are prepared for the workforce in our Forever Texas program. And the idea that we do from etiquette dinners to resume building to dress for success and academics, all the things that we put, internships to put them prepared to get a job, that's our Forever Texas program. Our Leverage program is side by side that, taking your NIL, your own individual name, image, and likeness, and how we can monetize that, or how you can best do that yourself. So we're just a lot of education. I think the building blocks are in place. I know they are in place, and I'm excited for that. And it's you know, the evolution of college athletics and the opportunity for a young student to come take advantage of that is phenomenal. However, what we cannot lose sight of is that the average student in the United States has a loan debt of $38,000 per student. It's $2 trillion. Majority of our student athletes go to the University of Texas free education. Only 2% of our student athletes go pro. So what we have to do is make sure they have all the tools necessary that when they leave here, they will change the world for coming to the University of Texas. And I firmly believe that. And that's through these two programs that we put forth for them.
Chris, we appreciate it. And let us say, or we pass to you our thoughts. I know the worst phone call or worst piece of news is when a student-athlete loses their lives, and we had that recently with Jake Ellinger. And so our thoughts and prayers are with the entire athletic department and certainly his family. And I know that was a rough situation. And just thoughts and prayers from us to you guys.
Appreciate that, my friend. For Sam and his family, it's just couldn't imagine that phone call. But we just got to keep them in our prayers and our thoughts and still reaching out to them. You know, because that's a long, those conversations need to continue to happen. So make sure you that the nation keeps them in their thoughts and make sure they continue to reach out in the past few months and years.
Thank you, Chris. We appreciate it, my friend.
All right, y'all have a great day. Hook 'em.
There it is, the interview this morning with Bucky and Aaron with Chris Del Conte, the athletic director and vice president of the University of Texas. All right, we'll have the notebook coming up next when we continue with Light the Town.
Snagit. Download your free trial today at snagit.com/radio and open your team's eyes to a new way of working. Should have been a Snagit.
Craig Webb, Jeff Howe, and Snoop Daniel. Light the Tower.
And you know some people are made of wood. Some people have hearts of stone.
This is the part I like right here. Listen to this guttural thing first.
Some people up to no good.
Right here, this.
But baby,
some dramatics.
I'm for real.
What you see is what you get. because that's exactly that of what you're going to get. So first we have to hit the chorus right here. Okay. Then what you see is what you get. Ha! What you see, what you see. Okay. It's what you get. That's the theme. What you see is what you get. Of the Notebook.
Jeff Howe's Longhorn Notebook. Brought to you by Cedar Park Overhead Doors. Go to cpdoors.com.
Yeah, because it is what you see is what you get.
Scanning Twitter, I think I just found an inconceivable story for Monday.
So really?
I'll file that one away.
Okay.
Yeah, do a little more research on that. Let's talk about transfers, Craig.
Yep.
24/7 Sports, we published a list of the top 100 transfers in college football for this coming season. And I think it's worth mentioning Xavier Worthy, the Michigan signee, is not on that list because he's not a transfer. He never enrolled at Michigan, so
right.
Doesn't count for transfers. None of the Texas transfers ranked in that top 100 list. Ben Davis, Ovia Gofu, Ray Thornton, none of the guys Texas brought in, which is fine, but because I think this staff is pretty comfortable with the guys they brought in for a variety of reasons. Devin Richardson, New Mexico State, same thing. So, but I think the staff is comfortable, and they had – you know, different. They had needs and needs that, you know, they weren't looking for quarterbacks. They weren't in the market necessarily for transfer wide receivers and kind of the offensive. They didn't take any transfer offensive linemen. So some of those positions that lend themselves a little bit more to I know pass rushers one, but the positions that lend themselves a little bit more to being ranked high. Running back is one. They obviously didn't need a transfer running back. But I wanted to look at the list of guys, Craig, who did make the transfer list, and kind of how that's impacted Texas in terms of what they've lost. Opalia Nateote, the USC transfer linebacker, who still has...
That just rolls off your tongue now.
Now it does. Yeah. Who still has not made a decision. Texas is... And they're hanging in there, but all signs have been pointing to Ohio State for the USC transfer. He still hasn't made a decision. So I guess until he makes the call for Ohio State, maybe there's a chance for Texas, but he is number 10 overall in the list of 24/7 Sports top 100 transfers for the 2021 season. And a lot of former Longhorns ranked in the list, Craig. Keonta Ingram coming in at number 29, Xavier Alford at number 55, Jalen Green at number 63, Juwan Mitchell at number 81, and one that we forgot about because he was actually a fall transfer, Kenyatta Watson, transferring to Georgia Tech, comes in at number 93. So you look at the guys Texas lost during this top 100 list. Okay, how are they replacing those guys? Well, Keonta Ingram, you replacing him really with a healthy Roschon Johnson. You bring Bijan Robinson back. I don't think depth at running back is a concern, especially, I mean, you'd be hard-pressed, Craig, in a lot of leagues to find a better number three and number four running back on a roster than Danny Young and Gabe Watson.
True.
Pretty good for your three and four. Oh, and by the way, Jonathan Brooks still gets here in a couple of weeks. So
sure.
You're five deep at running back. I think you're okay. The secondary is really the area of focus for me. So it was Xavier Alford, you lose a safety, Jalen Green, and Kenyatta Watson, you lose a couple corners. At corner, you add Darian Dunn. You know, the previous staff was able to get him signed. He was here for the spring, the McNeese State transfer, so you've got him in the fold. And, Craig, I really think your air quotes transfer, your portal guy at safety, I want to see what this Brendan Schooler experiment, you know, he had the 1 year at safety at Oregon, then made the transition to wide receiver, played wide receiver last year, now moving him to safety. I want to see what this looks like after he gets a summer to run some 7-on-7s and gets into camp. He's going to be, based on how he ended the spring and where it looks like he is in the pecking order, he's going to be a factor in that safety rotation, especially, I talk about injury issues at wide receiver. B.J. Foster's a guy that we haven't seen make it all the way through a season without some kind of issue popping up. So you need depth at that safety position. So really the safety that you lose with Xavier Alford, you fill that hole with Brendan Schooler. You kind of fill the gap you had at corner with Darian Dunn. And you're also going to get Ishmael Ibrahim here, the Dallas Kimball signing. You get him here in the next couple of weeks. And then the big one is Juwan Mitchell. That was one that, you know, inside linebacker, even with Juwan Mitchell, it was still an area of concern. Now it's a massive area of concern. They've tried to fill it with Nateote. Again, it looks like he's headed to Ohio State. So Devin Richardson, though, the New Mexico State transfer, it's worth mentioning, he was a freshman All-American in 19. And New Mexico State just had a wonky schedule because they were, you know, as an independent, it's tough for them to schedule games anyway. They ended up playing a game with Tarleton State this spring, a game they lost, and then after that, Devin Richardson opts out. So, and then ends up entering the portal. So you've got a guy that at least, at the very least, Craig, the transfers Texas has brought in, and I'll put Darian Dunn in a different category and Brendan Schooler, because Brendan Schooler was a really productive safety the 1 year he played at Oregon. But you know, Ben Davis, Ovia Gofu, Ray Thornton, Devin Richardson, the guys you're bringing in your defensive front to fill those gaps, at the very least you're getting guys that have FBS-level experience. And in the case of the other three, with Davis, Gofu, and Thornton, guys that have high-level Power 5 experience, guys that have been on rosters that have won national championships and played in the college football playoff. So at the very least, no, I don't think anybody's counting on any of those edge guys to come in and be Joseph Osai, or you're not counting on, you know, the next Jordan Hicks to show up with Devin Richardson. But the bottom line is you've got guys that at least have experience. So while they might not be highly thought of, you know, they're guys the staff is going to try to make do with and plug the holes they do have.
Okay, there it is. Some updated transfer information. It's good info as always from Jeff with that.
Yeah, let's go ahead and hit the break right now, come back, and we'll do
wrap
some,
it up with
some
the cards.
Card action. Yeah, when we come back.
We'll do it when we wrap up. Light the Tower. Special tribute song to Josh Reddick there. Because for those of you who didn't get the joke on that, the Dodgers organ is playing. I saw the sign. Tribute to Josh Reddick in those 2017 Astros when he came to the plate for the Diamondbacks. Maybe it's only, you know, fitting and proper that Josh Reddick plays for the D-backs, that is. There. All right. Before we get done, we've got a couple of things here. Right? Jump right into the cards.
And definitely want to thank again browneyeclothing.com. Colorectal cancer awareness is what they're all about, helping us with this. So for everybody on Twitch, I got a couple of good finds. I'll save what I think. It's not the most valuable, but to me it's the best for last. We got a this is a 2021 Donruss. We got a red parallel variation of Fernando Tatis Jr. That's numbered to 2021 copies of that. It's the Slam Diego variation, Craig, and it's a red parallel there. There's a David Ortiz throwback blue parallel right there. That's very nice. You got the old school Diamond Kings card, Carlos Correa, right there. I like that. And then this is my favorite one that I pulled. So we pulled some Diamond Kings. I got some rookies out of the Diamond Kings pack and a nice Ted Williams card in there also. Oh, that's a Manny Machado parallel. I totally missed that. Manny Machado purple parallel. This is a Bartolo Colon card. You say, what's the big deal with a Bartolo Colon card? Well, it's a variation, and you'll see the variation, Craig, where the name is. That's not a name. It just says Big Sexy. Love it. I friggin' love it. Yes. So that's good stuff. All right, Snoop, what you got?
Former UT Longhorn Brandon Belt. Trent Grisham of the Padres. I know Craig doesn't like him, but...
The Padres are good.
They are.
Mm, well, real good.
He's hit Dodger pitching pretty well. Mm-hmm. Bo Bichette. Shout out to Bo Bichette. We got the Diamond Kings, Kyle Lewis. Rookie of the year. And then, I keep butchering his last name, and he is batting like below the Mendoza line right now. But Bobby Dalbec, the third baseman rookie for Boston, and I looked it up online, and they're selling it for like $75. So if this pack of cards was $8, then you already made your money back and some.
So there it is. By the way, the three best records right now, the three best records in the National League, are all in the West. The three best records.
That's a hellacious division.
San Francisco, the big surprise. The Giants are 10 above 500. San Diego's 10 above 500 at 27-17. And the Dodgers are 26-18. For the first time this season, the Dodgers and Giants meet. It's tonight in the Bay Area. So Trevor Bauer back on the hill for the first time since when I saw him last Saturday night in L.A.
Congrats to the Giants for getting back to relevance. It's been a minute.
They are. They're back in on that, so we'll see. Meanwhile, Astros and Rangers getting ready to go at it again. So, yeah, we'll see how that all goes. Hey, thanks so much for joining us throughout the course of the week. Don't forget tonight, Longhorn Baseball, 6:15 airtime, 6:30 first pitch. Game 2, Texas and West Virginia. We invite you to stay tuned. Coming up next now will be Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. For our man behind the glass, our producer Snoop Daniel, and for my co-host Jeff Howell, I'm Craig Way. Thanks for joining us. Have a very, very cool weekend. Be safe as well, and we'll visit with you Monday morning, 10 o'clock, right here on Light the Tower.